Blog Talk Radio.
Push the button.
Welcome to the show. Gotta get a little started. Got a little pumped up.
All right, so welcome to the show. Like I said, we are in part three of our rest, recovery, and regeneration. Tonight will be regeneration. We're going to talk about the things that happen post-workout, all the things we do post-workout. So it's called, and again, these all use intertwined interchangeably, rest, recovery, regeneration. They all use, mainly the word that's used most of all is recovery. Most people use recovery. They use rest and use recovery. Those are the two that they use most on. But the third part of it is really considered regeneration. Basically, you're regenerating after everything that you've done. So that's what we're going to talk about this evening. That's going to be our focus this evening. We'll talk about a couple other things, but that's the main thing is regeneration. As we said before, our first one was rest. You know, we tell you athletes, you got to get your sleep. You got to get your body recovered and all that stuff. And rest is basically a part of regeneration. We talked about getting your maximum number of hours of sleep, 8 hours to 10 hours. Some people sleep even 12 hours of sleep. Get 12 hours of sleep. Good, strong. Live camera to eye level. Thank you, Mr. Henderson.
Are we not at eye level?
I have no idea.
I was trying to move it to eye level.
We were, but.
Okay.
Are you happy now, Chuck?
Is that better?
Is that good? Okay. So, like I was saying, we're talking about 8 hours of sleep, 12 hours of sleep for our athletes out there to get the athletes ready and going for rest, maximum. Then we talked about recovery, which we focused on at the track. The workout is and what you do in between sets and intervals at the track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chuck. Well, you know what? Like I told you before, come up here.
No.
I know. Come on up here and set it up for us.
We keep you
on. I know. It's just Chuck. So, we talked about recovery, the intervals, what you do in between each set, and how those intervals are very key to setting your workout and how you get better at your workout. Okay, thank you. I'll see you on Saturday. and getting your workout, basically those recovery times, 30 seconds to 5 minutes to 8 minutes, whatever the case may be, based on what the workout is, helps you get you going. It's actually the better part of the workout. The workout itself is one part, but how you work on your speed, how you work on your endurance, your aerobic and anaerobic conditioning is based on the recovery, what you let your body do to get ready for the next thing you're going to do. So that's what recovery is about. The last piece of it, and that's what we're going to be focused on today, is regeneration. The workout has completed. You've done your 2 hours or 3 hours or 1 hour, whatever the case may be, a workout. And now, what do you do now? What is the next thing you do? So that's what we're going to focus on today. Give us a call, 646-668-8083, if you have any questions, concerns, your thoughts about what you do for recovery and regeneration after a workout. Regeneration comes in many different forms and aspects. We're going to talk about all of those. We'll talk about several of those tonight so you get an idea of what actual regeneration is. And we'll also talk, you knew he was coming.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony, the skins aren't on tonight. What you going to do, buddy?
Oh, the football is on.
There's no skins tonight.
I know.
So you're okay?
We're good.
All right. Good. The Eagles are on.
I mean, you got somebody backing you up or what?
Whatever.
Giving you
anyway.
Anybody giving you the update on it? Oh, y'all going to Tampa, huh? You holding out?
Regeneration.
See how you do.
Because you got the class reunion this weekend.
I do.
That's right.
I
mean, by the way,
that's Roanoke. I mean, the Noke
stole High School, Harrisburg High School's decade reunion.
Oh,
they're
the
doing,
Noke is on fire this
here
weekend.
Here we go. 80s. They're doing an 80s class reunion, which she has to go to. So she will be unable to come to Tampa for our draft. So
I mean, Tampa, Roanoke. I mean, I don't know.
We'll talk about this offline now. Anyway, so regeneration. Like I said, we're going to talk about what happens after the workout. So, and again, it's different for everything we do. So if you want to start a little bit, go ahead.
So you put the question out there and you were talking, I'm disrespectful. You put the question out there and you were talking about different things that, you know, people do to rejuvenate.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the cryo, ice bath, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think that both of those, especially, you know, the cold therapy has been known to be a good regenerative exercise, so to speak.
Okay.
I think that, you know, initially before the whole cryo, you know, came out and all of that, you know, ice bath is all you had, basically, or really just ice in general.
Yes.
I don't know if people were. I know me personally, I wasn't getting in a full fledged bath.
Doing
an
ice bath?
No,
yes.
Wasn't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I do think that works. Obviously, not just in track, but just in sports in general. My kids did it for football, for volleyball. Or whatever, and I don't know if it's any. I don't know that I've ever researched it to find out if there's any real scientific madness behind it. I know you have, but
why do you do that to me?
I'm just saying. But I do know that my kids did it, and it was beneficial for them. And you know, and obviously we tell the kids, the track kids currently, to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they've worked out a lot,
and
you know, and you really need to kind of give your muscles that burst again, you know, or what have you.
Yeah.
You know, we've known it to work.
Okay.
So I do think that it is beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I've known the ice bath as well as the cryo treatment to work.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I feel like they're both kind of the same thing. I feel like the actual ice bath itself, me, I'm kind of old school. I think that kind of gives you that quicker burst because you're actually immersing into that cold water like that.
Okay.
But I think that the cryo treatment does pretty much the same because it gets down to below the, you know, to
certain temperatures. It's 100 and it can go from 110 to 200 degrees. Below, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it works, but I don't know that it has the same penetrating. It serves the same purpose, but I've gotten different feedback from different people, just depending on their preference.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Chuck. I'm glad you're joining. And protein and carbs are the two most important recovery needs. Thank you for your assistance on this. All right, we'll get into it. We'll get into the nutrition parts about it as well. You're right. We talk about ice baths and cryo sauna, or basically cryogenic. What people are using, the cryo thing is basically a large. Sometimes you go to a studio. Somewhere is just a large vat that actually comes out. They bring it with you, and you step into it, and it's not ice. It's nitrous oxide frozen. Frozen, pushed at you at anywhere from a negative 100 to negative 200 degrees, and it freezes, and it's really, really cold, really, really fast. Studies have been done. Thanks, Tom, for getting me. Studies have been done on both ice baths and cryo sauna, and to see which one would be better, and come to find out, really doesn't matter.
Right, because it's the same cold therapy.
And in all honesty, what they've found in most of these research is it has no real effect on your regeneration.
I thought that.
It's
but
mainly,
like I said, I never did the research behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's mainly, it's more of a psychological thing that your body is sore, you've got inflammation, and you want to get the swelling down. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
He on a roll.
Yeah.
He gonna give Tony
a roll. Just a little backstory. Chuck and Tony, this is my high school class and our class. You know, every year the guys of this class, we have a fantasy football draft, and this year it's in Tampa, Florida, with our friend Jimmy's house.
Dang.
So that's why we're going to Tampa.
That's a serious doggone draft.
Hey, you
fantasy football, you got to go clean the floor. You can't do it over the phone. I mean,
we like to get together and socialize.
Okay, okay.
We fraternize. What's wrong with
that?
You go see your girls, or can we go see the guys?
I do.
Thank
I
you.
Absolutely do.
See, you know, just take things away from people enjoying themselves.
Okay.
The draft is secondary to, you know, right now, catching up and all this stuff. Yes, sir. Move
the
show. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Executive Producer. I guess you are. So, what are we talking about? Cryo, basically, studies have shown that it doesn't have any real effects, you know, physiologically, but psychologically, you feel as if the swelling is going down, that you don't have that soreness, and just the fact that, oh, my God, I'm freezing cold, it takes away from the soreness you have from the workout.
Right.
So, but there's really no study has shown that it has a real lasting effect of helping the body get better.
Got it.
So, but it is something that's done. A lot of people use them. A lot of people do it. And I would never discredit and say don't do it, because I'm actually one who says, you know, kids should use the ice bath and use the, if they can, use the cryo sauna if it's available. And the reason being, there is that psychological thing, like I feel better, you know,
so
or my coach told me to do this and get in here, immerse in here for X amount of minutes and keep moving and get out of there.
So for the some of the research that I did on it, not anything intense, but did say that that it helps to release lactic acid from the body.
We'll talk about lactic acid in a little bit, but yeah, you're absolutely right. The lactic acid is something that builds up after work, and we'll talk about what lactic acid is, and actually, it's not a bad thing. I mean, it gets this bad rap, like, oh, you got this lactic acid buildup, and the lactic is tearing you down, and of course, when you hear the word acid, you know, it's something bad. But there is a reason for it, and it's not a detriment to your body. It actually helps your body. Mind over matter. Yep, that's right, Reggie. Any mind over matter. It actually helps your body. But we'll talk about a little bit more about that in a little bit. I want to talk about one thing when we get started. Like, we talk about regeneration, we say, okay, well, what is it? And most people think when you say regeneration, once you're finished, you know you have regenerated when your body's not sore.
Right.
That's what most people think. It's like, I'm not sore anymore. I can go back at it.
Right. And for real, that's just like the physical part.
Right.
Of it. And that's not even the biggest part, that mental.
Okay. Well, tell me then what the mental side is.
I'm saying for the mental part of it is that, again, just like when we talk about rest and recovery, from a mental side of the rejuvenation part of it, is that you have to mentally prepare yourself to be ready to go back out for that next exercise, that next workout.
Okay.
And I think that, again, we go back to, that's when we go back to when we talk about proper rest, where we talk about proper diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that contributes to it. It's not just a matter of sitting around not doing anything or ice baths and, you know, all of a sudden you're ready again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it encompasses all of, you know, all of the things that are required to get your body mentally, physically, and emotionally back. I can't even say in shape, because it's not like you're not in shape.
Right.
But just to get you prepared for that next workout.
Yeah, and you're absolutely, and that's true. That's so true. One of the other things, though, is about as far as regeneration is, when people say your body's not sore, but it may be that that's not really all of regeneration. When you feel you're not sore is one thing, when actually you haven't really regenerated.
Right.
You know, because you didn't give your body enough time. What regeneration is your body. It's not really you're resting up. It's your body now adapting to what you just did. So it's now making its defenses. It's basically a defense mechanism to say, you did this to me. You made my heart work, the heart work this hard. You made the muscles work this hard. Now I have to adjust and make the muscles stronger or the heart pump more to be ready to do that again. That's what regeneration is. So what's happening is when you do your, like you said, you get your hours of sleep and stuff, your body's going to work and saying, okay, this is what happened to me. I need to do this. I need to either open the heart and get these things going, work on the heart muscles. I need to work on the muscles that have been broken down, what you did, and the contraction that happened from the skeletal muscles and the heart muscle. I need to work on those things to get them better so they can withstand if you do that again.
Right.
So it may tell you can't do that at that maximum level in 24 hours. You may need to, I may need 48 hours to do that, mm-hmm. or 72 hours, or whatever the case may be, based on how hard that workout was, okay, or what your own body tells you. It's telling you, hey, yes, correct, yes. So what happens, I'm going to piggyback off that in a second, but what your body is doing is saying, I need to do these things. It's basically a defense mechanism. Let me get prepared, because if you do that again, I want to be ready.
Right.
It's a defense mechanism.
Right.
I mean, that's all it is. It's funny. When you think about it, it says you're getting rest, you know, to regenerate. Your body is going into defense mode. It's like, I've got to fight what you just did to me, and I got to get better so I can tackle whatever happens again.
Right.
Just a natural evolution of things. The fight or flight thing is basically what it's doing. It's your evolution of your body. Reggie mentioned, says you're tearing muscles, and that's the case. You do break down your muscles. What happens when you have a hard worker, you do break down your muscles. And what happens when you do that is there are other cells around your muscles that go to work. They start replicating and multiplying and all this stuff. And these cells, you know, they're like satellite cells. They now go attack where you hurt the muscle and help restore it. They'll either multiply in where it's sore to build it back up, or they'll create more fiber in there to strengthen where it's been torn or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. to help it. So it takes time for your body to do that based on what kind of workout you did, what the recovery time in between each workout was. I mean, if you do a longer run with, you know, just basically a quick, you know, with a jog pace, 40%, 50%. Yes, you're absolutely right, because you can't shock your body like that. You're right, Tony. If you've got heart disease or you have high blood pressure, you do not want to shock your body into that sense, because your body, the wind, that cold air, your body now takes all of the your body says, I've got to protect the organs. It does everything. So it takes the blood away from the limbs. It takes the blood from everywhere else and protects the inner core of your body. And so that shocking may make you go into cardiac arrest if you have that kind of situation. So you got to be very careful when you use something like cryo. Even ice baths, you got to be careful. You have to watch who's doing it and how you're doing it and how long you stay in it. You know, the kids, maybe the high school kids, they're like, I don't want to get it.
I know.
And, you know, and like you said, you want to be a proponent of doing it yourself. But when you do it, you've got to be able, and it's like, you got to get in. What kids are dipping their toe and dipping their toe and all that stuff.
Oh, my God,
And then here comes the ankle, and then they get dramatic. You know, oh, my God. Kind of like somebody who's savvy going up a 2-foot wall.
Whatever.
Dramatic. Good Lord. If y'all saw that, just like, just.
No, hate. I made it up that wall, though, didn't I?
2 feet with steps.
I mean, I had to do that with my arm. That's different.
Did you get an ice bath after that workout?
I did not.
What did you do?
I mean, I'm in tip-top shape. I'm an athlete. I didn't need all of that.
Really? So here you are telling athletes, and then you say,
I'm just kidding. I take it back. I personally did not take an ice bath, but I have been doing the boot camp lately.
Yes.
And part of that regeneration, though, is making sure that it's not something that I could do every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't. So as far as, like, the recovery, regenerative time
mm-hmm.
for your body to recover,
mm-hmm.
it just depends on the type of workout.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more strenuous the workout,
mm-hmm.
obviously, the more time that it takes to
mm-hmm.
regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
So it can take, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours,
mm-hmm.
a week, a month.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on, you know, the type of workout
sure,
that
absolutely.
You're doing. So for me, for the boot camp that I was actually doing,
mm-hmm.
It's only offered 3 times a week.
Uh-huh.
So the time in between, you know, I don't do anything at all.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at
That's
all.
Interesting.
I mean,
okay.
I walk.
Mm-hmm.
I do my basic. Nothing, I should say, that I
mm-hmm.
consider out of the ordinary. Like, I walk. I take the steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to do different things like that. But
mm-hmm.
I don't do any strenuous exercise
in between
those times.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I mentioned, and the reason I brought up, because I want to tease her, first of all, because of the wall she did, but also the part about what she did afterwards, because after she did that workout, and I'll be honest, it was strenuous for her. She did use.
I'd like to see your butt come up that wall.
Okay.
We're gonna get you out of DNA up the wall.
I gotta have knee surgery. I can't be doing that stuff.
blaming on the knees, are we? First of all, I did the boot camp itself for an hour before I did the wall.
We're talking about regeneration.
Okay, yeah, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
I regenerated after that.
Anyway, the reason I brought it up because she did do a strenuous workout. She, you know, I'm not a teaser, but she actually did a strenuous workout, and then she ended it with, that was the end, right?
That was the end.
Yeah,
right.
So she ended it with actually a wall climb she had to do and get up a wall using a rope. And so she's strenuous muscle, pulling her own arms, pulling her own weight, lifting her legs, bringing them up on an incline. So she worked all of the heavy, the bigger muscles of her body. She worked all the heavier muscle, the heavier muscle core of her body while she was doing this. So once she finished, you know, when she was done, you know, not only do you have the heart rate up and your heart trying to catch the oxygen, your body, now her body was broken down. Muscle fibers are broken down.
Ooh, were they?
Her muscle fibers were broken down, and her body went immediately after you. Again, that's the best part about it. Your body, immediately after you stop, your body goes right into defense mode to say, hey, this is what you did to me. I need to fix this and get better.
Right.
If I've strained a muscle or if I strained the fibers in the muscle, I'm going to have those satellite cells get to work quickly and multiply as fast as possible to fix that thing what happened.
Right.
I'm going to do that. Or if I can't do the replication to put there, I'm going to build other fiber to get in there where it's hurt and put that there as well. That's your body. That's what your body does. Right. And the thing about it is it goes immediately into it. You don't have to do anything for it to do that. It knows and goes about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So after any strenuous workout, that's what your body is doing. Now, that's a strenuous workout. I was about to mention about you're doing a light jog.
Right.
Say somebody like me, like I said, I can't do anything and I'm out there doing a light jog. So I go do a light jog. Well, I'm not really breaking down any fiber, you know, on my muscle fibers. The only thing I'm really working on is my heart rate.
Right.
So my heart now goes into work and says, okay, you increase what I'm doing. I've got to get more oxygen out to what you're doing, but not so bad. So it's not, I'm not working the muscles, so they're okay. I'm just working the capacity of my heart and my lungs to get everything going. So the heart, same thing. The heart knows that, okay, I've now taken this on. I need to be prepared if he does this again.
Right.
So it's working to pump the oxygen and pump it in there to the blood cell, get it in the blood cells and get it into you so I can move. So it does that as well. So there's two types. That's aerobic, you know, regeneration. And there's anaerobic, which is the strenuous stuff where you're breaking down the muscles. So those are things that happen, which your body automatically does once you do a workout, you complete a workout. We mentioned earlier about lactic and lactic acid. And I wanted to talk a little bit about lactic acid and lactate because it's a natural thing in your body. It's not a bad thing. Everybody says it's a bad, it's not really a bad thing. It's actually the byproduct of what you're doing.
Right.
You're working your body, you work your body, and what your body's doing is saying, okay, I've got to produce glucose, basically, sugar, energy in the cells to get them to work, to fire and do whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what your body's doing. When you do a hard workout or you're running, you know, you get it up and you get heart rate, your body, your lungs are working, your heart's working, it's going to the muscles, it's telling the muscles, hey, we've got this going. We've got to get the energy. We need energy. We need energy to keep this doing. We need to do this to keep the muscles contracting and go back and forth or whatever your case and doing your stride and all stuff. And what it needs? Sugar, basically. I mean, that's the common thing is sugar. It's telling sugar. So it breaks down. It creates this sugar in your body, in the cells to get going. Well, the byproduct of creating that sugar is the lactic acid. It's a part of the sugar. And it's not the lactate itself that messes it up. It's actually the hydrogen cells that come after making that. So that becomes an acidic thing after making the lactate. The hydrogen cells now break your pH balance in your body. So now it becomes below your body. So the hydrogen in there is what's breaking you down. It's telling you, and it's saying because you have something acidic, it's a damaging to your body.
Right.
That's what's happening. So the lactic is a good thing. It's a byproduct. It's actually helping you. But the hydrogen cells that are made with it are the things that become acidic and break down your pH balance in your body and tells your body, especially, here's the funny part about it. Again, when you think about running, you think about your heart, think about your lungs, you think about your muscles going, but your pH balance of your body, your liver.
Right.
You're breaking down. So your liver's saying, hey, we're out of whack. What's going on? It's trying to fix that. It doesn't like that. So it says, I need to make sure those muscles are doing what it's supposed to do. And the hydrogen, once that builds up and those hydrogen cells get in there and stuff, and the acidic gets in there, it says, this is too much. I can't create enough sugar to keep this going because of all these hydrogen cells. I need to shut you down to get it back to normal. That's what lactic acid. So what happens is the more it builds up, the more hydrogen cells are created, the more it gets going, the more your body gets to that point where it says, you've reached the threshold where I can't stop this. It's getting too much hydrogen there. I need to shut you down to get it back. Again, defense mechanism. That's what's going on. And that's what lactic acid is.
And so, you know, and so that, to piggyback on that a bit, is that it goes into the reason why it's so important to be mindful of your nutrition during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you talk about, you know, the lactic acid and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that you're having, like, the right amount of protein,
mm-hmm.
the right amount of potassium,
mm-hmm.
you know, and obviously hydrating.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are things that also contribute to that lactic acid.
You're right, yes.
So, you know, and so you need to make sure that you're not just because it's your off season,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, doesn't mean that's the time for you just to eat junk food, to you know, just to do whatever you want to do and just to kind of lay around, because it's still very important for you, like I said, to make sure you have a high protein, high potassium diet, and to make sure that you are you know, hydrating. And that you are also, even if you're not doing anything strenuous during that time, which you shouldn't be because you're regenerating, but it still is also just as important for you to stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're absolutely
during
right.
That
you're
time.
Absolutely right.
So
you're absolutely right. So like we said, we're talking about lactic. It's not, when you hear somebody say they got lactic acid buildup, in actuality, it's not the lactate that's doing it. It's actually hydrogen ions or cells that are created because you're creating the energy, the sugar, to make your muscles go. So athletes try to combat that by learning their thresholds, what your lactic threshold is. That's something you try to start with, your lactic threshold, where it is, you know, at a baseline,
right.
And then how you can build it better. So you do that by your workouts and what we mentioned before. Remember, all three work together, rest, recovery, regeneration. And how do you get that lactic, the recovery part of your workouts, whether it be shortened or long, to help you build that threshold of your lactic acid buildup so you can get to the point where your body is saying, you know, if you run a 400 and you've been running a 400 and say you run a 400 in 60 seconds, which is 60 seconds, and your threshold, you get a lactic threshold and you say, okay, this is where my body shuts down at 48 seconds. We're just using time. At 48 seconds, my body says, that's it. I'm shutting you down. Basically, you're basically on, you know, get me to the finish line if you haven't gotten there. So now you're working. So now you have workouts to go to say, okay, I want to get that from 48 to 50.
Right.
Or 48 to 52, whatever the case may be. So now you've got that. So now your speed, you can control, you can maintain your speed longer because your threshold is higher and you can fight through it to get better. So your times will come down. It all works together. Everything works together. So it's saying you need to rest. You need to learn this recovery part of it. And learn this regeneration of what your body is doing and defense mechanism going on. Thank you, Tony. And thank you for mentioning that. Tony mentions also in a room that if there's a cryo room that must have an oxygen monitor in it, because the room could become oxygen deficient because you got nitro. It's nitro dioxide is in what they're doing, and it's not just freezing cold.
Right.
It's nitrogen. You're losing the rest of your oxygen in, and you could suffocate. That's absolutely right. So there are monitors on there to say how much oxygen is in the room or in the cryo chamber, and then it's like, okay, it's enough, you know, based on the person in there, and then they get you out of there. So that is always measured about how much time is in and the temperature in which they do it. So thank you for mentioning that, Tony. But like I said about lactic acid, lactic gets a bad rep, but it's actually a good part of your body, and athletes try to learn their lactic threshold. And we do a little bit at the high school level. We don't really, I mean, some of us do a little more than others, based on how many athletes we have and what their threshold and where they are as fitness wise.
Right.
You know, the more elite, the more you want to look at them is bring them down. The ones who are just coming into it, you're trying to build them up in a different way to get them to the part where you can really take get in a monitor and what they're doing and get there. And there's so many easy ways to start building it without using monitors, without using heart rate things and all that stuff. Dad, tell me somebody else Googling you, man. That's wild. There's ways of doing it without using heart rate monitors and all the things, but you can do it basically. And one of the things we do, and is, you know, it simply says, okay, if I want to see where they are from a 400 standpoint, I'm like, okay, I want you to run as fast as you can and as far as you can
right.
in 45 seconds. Set, go. See how far they can go. and see where, and then you start looking and look at the time and where they are, where their body basically breaks down.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, at the 200 meter mark, their body just said, that's it. They can keep going. And then at 300, they can't move. They're done. So you kind of get it that way. It's a simplistic way of doing it, but it at least gives you a baseline where you can start
right.
and learn your athletes and get moving. So that's some of the things we'll do. The funny part is we don't tell the athletes. They have no
right.
idea what we're doing. It's just, and it's something I do all the time, and I never tell them. And the reason being, I'm just trying to find and gauge where they are, and then I can first I learn my athletes where they are in their training. And how I can base my program on who I have in my group of athletes out there.
Right.
So that's a simplistic way. Others use heart rate monitors. They have tests and drills. They have things set up to say and test the body, blood test. A lot of that stuff is going on. You see that collegiate and the professional level all the time. Blood test to see where they are, measure their oxygen levels, their VO2 levels and everything on it, just to see where they are, what their bodies are at baseline and after a strenuous workout and just an aerobic workout so they can get a better measurement, put it in the computer, do the physics of it, and then say, okay, you are at this level right here. This is what we need to do to work on you.
And another thing, too, is that most of the time people don't realize the stress that exercise actually puts on your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing, don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
but it definitely puts a lot of stress on your body.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't take the time, to properly recover and regenerate,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to continuously
mm-hmm.
break down your body
mm-hmm.
to where either you're going to start, being more prone to injury
mm-hmm.
and or it's going to take you much longer for your body to regenerate, to be able to get back to
mm-hmm.
the state that it needs to be
That's
in
right.
for you to be able to perform.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
So.
And one of the other things we talk about, and I'm glad you mentioned stress, is not only the stress of working out, just your everyday stress.
Right, exactly.
Your everyday stress plays a part in your lactic threshold. You just wouldn't believe everything is part of it if you didn't get your sleep. Rest part.
Mm-hmm.
Your lactic, your stress, your energy may not be as high, and you may not have it as much, so you may not be able to produce enough sugar, glucose, to have a good workout that day. If, you had a bad day, you stress yourself out at work or in class or whatever, and you just mentally are so tired and broken down, same thing. You're not going to produce.
Right.
Not going to do the things that you do. Like you mentioned, eating. You ate nothing all day long. There's nothing for your body to create the sugars to do this.
Right.
What's it going to do? It can't do it. So you go out and work out, and then we say all the time, did you eat today?
Right.
No, I didn't eat today. Yeah. How you come to practice knowing you didn't? Like, I had a bag of chips.
I know. I was just going to say, that's their favorite line. Woo, that line is so famous. They think chips are the answer.
Yeah, the
to
chips
everything.
Are the answer to everything. It's like, I had a bag of chips. What? You can't, that's not going to get you through this workout. You're basically taking away from my workout today because you're not going to be able to complete it or do it to what I'm looking for because you didn't eat, And here's the other famous one. Man, the food in the cafeteria is so bad.
Nasty.
It's so nasty. I don't want to eat that stuff, man. You don't understand, coach. Like, Then fix something at home and bring it with you.
Bring the sandwich, peanut butter and jelly, whatever.
Nothing wrong with it. But as I said, other stressors that come a part of what happens and how we can measure what's going on. You didn't eat. You had a bad day at work or at school or whatever the case may be. Rest. Any of those things. Just all those things can weigh down on you. The other thing a stressor is, just recover from the last workout.
Right.
Whether it been, say, we're talking about a Wednesday, and we had a hard workout on Monday, and you didn't fully recover from Monday to the next workout on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
that's a stressor on your body, where your body said, hey, wait. I haven't fixed this one yet. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm going to shut you down. I haven't gotten this yet. I'm going to shut you down. You can't do this to me. I'm not going to let you do it. And your body will shut you down.
Right.
It's a defense mechanism. It's not trying to hurt you, and it's not trying to. And you're like, man, I can't do this. It's no. Actually, your body is saying, hey, I want you to do it. I just have to be prepared and ready for it when it comes. So give me a chance to do what I need to do. And your body tells you in every single way.
So, and another part to the whole regeneration part to it that we have to take into account is, like we talk about, rest, recovery,
mm-hmm.
and regeneration
mm-hmm.
during a regular workout,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in between intervals and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But how about when you actually have an injury,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. Because then it takes even longer.
That's right, yeah.
And then, it, you know, if your body is, you know, has, if you've experienced an injury,
mm-hmm.
not only do you have to do the regular things that you need to do when you're perfectly healthy,
mm-hmm.
it's actually going to take you a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be mindful of that, because if you don't take that time,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to fully recover and allow
mm-hmm.
your body to regenerate,
mm-hmm.
you are more prone to re-injure
mm-hmm.
the same injury,
absolutely,
which is going to make it worse in the long run, because then it's going to take even longer
mm-hmm.
for that, you know, for your body to recover and regenerate, because,
right.
you know, you never took the time to allow it to heal the first time
right.
around.
You're absolutely right. So now, and talking about, let's just talk about the workouts. So let's say Monday is, you know, Murder Monday. Some have Murder Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this really strenuous workout. There's been this really, really hard workout. Well, that workout actually started the day before, that Sunday. Your rest day, which what makes most people is your rest day. You're not doing any active, you're not doing an active workout, a strenuous workout on Sunday. So you know, and athletes know, you know, because coaches tell them, it's Murder Monday, be prepared. We're going to have this really strenuous workout on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the first thing an athlete should do, knowing you're going to have a really strenuous workout on Monday? Sunday, sleep. Get
right.
your rest.
That's right.
Get your rest that night before. You know, get your 8 to 10 hours of sleep, because you know you're going to have a strenuous workout. Why? So your body is active. It knows it's got its full rest. It's ready to go. The muscles are ready to go. It's recovered from everything that happened the week before. It's done everything it needed to do. Okay, I'm ready to go. When we talk about recovery, what is it? When I don't feel sore anymore, or I'm mentally ready to go. All those
mm-hmm.
things are ready to go. And the other part of recovery is when your body says, yep, not only are you not sore, we are ready to go. We are fired. Our muscles are ready to go. We're full of energy. We're ready to go. We can do this. So the first thing is you get your rest the night before.
Right.
Second thing is, again, workouts at 4 o'clock in the evening and the afternoon. So what happens between that time when you wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock? Got to eat.
Right.
Make sure you eat properly.
Mm-hmm.
Get your protein in. Get your low carbs in. Get your stuff in there that helps you get your energy, has the capacity to get everything you need to do that workout. And hydrate.
Right.
The biggest
Most
thing, we
right.
can't, we cannot tell you enough and stress enough, hydrate. Water. Your body needs water. It needs, the cells crave the water. We need the water. Water, water. It's the most basic life function. It says, please give me water so I can do what I need to do. If I don't have enough water, I can't produce everything I do. If I don't have enough water, I can't get the blood flowing to the muscles as quickly as you want them to do it. If I don't have enough water, the muscles are really don't have it. They're dry, and they can tear. Not just tear like on the workout, but physically tear and put you in a serious injury.
Right.
Get your water. Your rest, what you eat, hydrate. Do all those things. And the other thing we talked about earlier, stressors. Eliminate as many of those stressors that you're going
right.
to have. You know, some of them you may not get around. It may be a bad day in class, or maybe a bad day at work, or whatever the case may be. Some of those things you just can't avoid. But the other stressors, the eating, the rest, and some of the other things that you can take care of yourself, the outside of that, eliminate those so you can be prepared for, like we say, Murder Monday.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I mean, it's not... to me, it's like it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's really simple.
It sure
That's
is.
That's the thing about it, is that it's not even anything that you have to do a whole world of research
mm-hmm.
about. This is almost common sense. You know,
it is. You're right. Yes.
But it's like, unfortunately, common sense is not always common.
Nope. No, you're right.
People know, I feel like most athletes, by the time they get to high school, and especially by the time if they are, you know, competing in college,
mm-hmm.
you know exactly what to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And a lot of times they, you know, athletes choose to cheat themselves by feeling like, oh, I don't need that 8 hours of sleep.
That's
I'm
right.
good with 4 hours. Give me four
I,
or five
I had a
hours.
4 hours.
Yeah.
I had a PR on 4 hours. You
yeah.
know, why do I need 8 hours of sleep? Okay.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
they even like, and they feel like a lot of times as long as, if they're in season, they'll eat healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Should be.
Maybe.
But
mm-hmm.
like I said, even when you're not in season, it's fine to have, you know, what you like that's outside of your what you should be
mm-hmm.
eating every now and then. You could even do that during the in season. If the truth be told, I don't recommend it. Let me just put that out there. But if you choose to, everything is about moderation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making sure that you are, if you go a little bit overboard with your workout,
mm-hmm.
fine, but don't go too drastically
mm-hmm.
over the top with
mm-hmm.
it. If you go a little bit over what you're supposed to eat, fine, don't go drastically over
mm-hmm.
the top of
mm-hmm.
it, top with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, when you hydrate, you know, most we say drink water.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying Gatorade. We're
mm-hmm.
not saying, you know, a lot of
energy drinks,
all
those things.
Hydration
is one thing. Water.
Simply water.
It's just water.
Right.
It's the greatest thing out there.
Right.
Water.
But then a lot
Nothing
of people will
better.
Use the excuse, well, such and such got water in it. You know, I can, as long as I'm drinking something.
Yeah, and then lots
the
of food.
Though.
There are lots of foods out there that are basically mostly water. Watermelons, basically water.
Right.
Lettuce is mostly water. Celery is mostly water. Several foods out there are mostly water, and you can get hydration by eating.
Right.
You can. That's right.
Right.
But it's the quickest way.
Water.
Just drink some water.
Just water.
What's the quickest way?
It's common sense. It's simple stuff.
I don't like water.
So
okay.
many people try to make things more
yes,
difficult than
absolutely.
It needs to be, and
yep.
it's really just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep your 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Eat properly.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
That's right.
And
absolutely.
It's not going to make you necessarily any faster, per se, but if you're not doing it, it will definitely slow you down.
It'll get in the way of what you want to do.
Yep.
Right. You can't be your most efficient and get to your best and maximize everything you want to do.
Exactly.
If you don't listen to what we're telling you now, some of these things that we're telling you right now.
Right.
And it's all part of regeneration. So here we go. We've got this. So we've told the athlete what they needed to do.
Right.
All right. So they said, okay, I got my 8 hours of sleep. I've been drinking my water all day.
Mm-hmm.
I've drank my gallon of water.
Mm-hmm.
I've been eating really well today. I eliminated as many of my stressors. I go to my practice. We have a practice. It's a really hard practice, really, really tough practice. Afterwards, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I don't want to move everything. What do I do now?
Right.
What's the next thing? When regeneration has kicked in. When
mm-hmm.
when you say, okay, the practice is over, what do I do now? What's
right.
the next thing? Regeneration has kicked in inside your body, telling it's going to do what it needs to do,
mm-hmm.
but what should you do to help your body do what it needs to do? Usually, and we stress this, you know, within 30 to 45 minutes after your workout, eat something.
Right.
Eat something. Eat some protein. Eat some light protein. Get some protein. Piece
eat
of turkey.
A banana.
Eat a banana. Get a piece of turkey. Get a piece of turkey in you. Eat a banana. Get some nuts. You know, eat some peanuts or walnuts or whatever case may be. Get some legumes in you. You know, protein, really light protein. Get them in there quickly. Not too much salt,
right.
but get some protein in you really quickly. All right. So your body has that protein. You need protein. Body is broken down by amino acids, and those things are broken from protein. So your body's looking for protein to build protein to help your body. You want to get it in your body within 30 to 45 minutes after your workout. Hydration, like we talked about. Make sure within you hydrate during your practice, but afterwards, get that water in your body fast as possible so you can get more water in there. All the water you've lost, the sodium that you lost, get
mm-hmm.
that water back in your body.
Right.
Help it get back, regenerate the cells. Help it help those satellite cells that your body says, hey, get to work. Fix these things. Or, okay, can I get some water to help this get me and help me faster? Get your water in there. You know, and don't sip. You know, and one thing that I found and a lot of things, stay away from water fountains. Try to have your own water and drink your water like that. It's just hydration, hygiene, some of the other things. Drink your water. Have your water. Drink your water. Keep it going. Do those things immediately afterwards, within the 45 minutes to an hour after your workout. And the other thing we stress, and the other thing is stretching.
Right.
You
right.
know, stretching. You know, not tough, not real hard stretching, you know, like your warm area, but stretching to get the body loose, to get the contractions to stop. In your body. Your body, even when this is the funny thing about it, once you finish a workout and you finish a strenuous workout, even though you don't think your body's still having contractions from the
mm-hmm.
work and all stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's still contracting.
It
it's
is.
Still inside, going back and forth, back and forth. The muscles are firing, the fibers are firing, the neurons are firing. Boom, boom. Oh, you worked it so hard, you worked so hard. It's going back and forth, trying to get that work in, trying to start that build up, start that regeneration right there. They're still firing. You've got to get them to slow down so it can get to work, so it can build recovering your body. Stretching slows everything down, gets the body says, okay, it stopped. Now we're loosening up. I can get to work. I can stop with this, get the contractions to stop, and it can go to work. So those are things we say immediately, 45 minutes to an hour between once your workout begins, once your workout ends, and the next hour. Those things should be happening. That's what you should be doing. That's all part of regeneration.
Right. So you mentioned just now about making sure you talked about, you know, having like peanuts and so forth, but you also mentioned being mindful of your salt intake.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because there are certain things that that can also take away. Like you could do all of the right things, like you just mentioned, mm-hmm. the proper nutrition. I mean, eating certain mm-hmm. things and hydrating and all stretching and all of that. But then there are certain things that can take away from all of that, even if you're doing all of the right other
two bags
things
of chips.
Right. So
two bags of chips afterwards.
Yeah, right. So saying, we say eat, make sure that you eat after the workout within, you know, 45 minutes and all that kind of stuff. But you're right. It just depends on what you eat. You can't go out here and have salt, you know, salty type things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even go out here, like some people, alcohol and, you know,
goodness,
that type
gracious.
Of thing, because you can drink, but at the end of the day, again, alcohol dries your body out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I remember this guy, he used to always say, well, every time I finish working out, I got to have a beer because of the protein. That was his, you know, that was what he went with.
Well, and the funny thing is, athletes, professional athletes, they do. They go have a beer.
Yeah, they do have a beer.
There's reason for it. They have beer. They really do go have
and
a beer.
And in all fairness, it is high in protein.
Mm-hmm. It's not that they're going out and say, okay, I'm going to go drink some beer. It's literally part of what they do. They go have a beer. You know, it's like, okay, go get this. They drink the water, have a beer. It's part of what they do. You know, first, it helps flush things as well.
Right.
We're not saying
go out there drinking a whole bunch of beer, right?
We're definitely not saying high school athletes go out and
drink. Right.
Do that.
We're
absolutely
saying 21 and over,
that's
legal.
Right. Yeah. Professionally, elite
crew
doing that stuff.
It's not necessarily a bad thing
to
have a beer.
Right. Exactly. Because it helps flush the toxins as well. So.
It does. So he lived by that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But then, you know, it's other people. But a lot of times, you know, it's parties on Friday nights, Saturday nights, you know, when you're in college.
Uh-huh.
So it's fine to have that. I'm going to say it's fine to have that beer, but, you know, speaking.
Don't sit around the keg all
right,
Saturday
exactly, because then you're going to have a big fat gut. But you got to be, but the other alcohol is the challenge. I mean, it's the challenge for athletes. You think it's okay for them to be sitting around tequila shots and
I was like, it's a challenge. They should know. I mean,
that people think that as long as they're doing all of the other things, like working out, eating, you know, the other food, that they get breaks. You know, like you get a bye or whatever on Friday night and Saturday night because then you just go harder. When you go back on Monday,
it doesn't work like that.
You know, you're like interfering with your regeneration.
That's right. You're getting away with what your body needs to do, because now your body's like, well, wait a minute, this knucklehead, and now I got the liver having to get this bile and stuff out of here.
We talk about the sugar.
There, it's like now you just broke it down. What are you doing? I can't get they can't do what it needs to do because it's got to fight this alcohol and break all that down. So you're absolutely right on that. But like we said, we're talking about regeneration and what we should do right after the workout and all that stuff. Now, here's the other part about regeneration. Like you said, we're talking about Murder Monday. So Murder Monday has completed. All right, you're done. It's been a really strenuous one. You've done everything we just said. And then that evening, what are you going to do? Same thing you did Sunday night. You're going to get your 8 hours of sleep or more, get your rest, and get all the things. But the other thing we ask, and most people, and we try to get everybody, there's that mental regeneration. You know, once you've done the eating and you've done all those things, you've done all the stuff you need to do. I'm going to say, for a high school athlete, you've done your homework. There's that mental regeneration. Don't do anything.
Right.
Just relax. You know, take your time. It's not a time to sleep. It's not a time to do any, you know, reminiscing what the workout was or stuff. It's just a time to focus mentally. Let your mental, let your body just say, okay, you know what? It's been this day. I went through all these things. I'm just going to shut it down for a little bit. You know, just nice and easy, you know. People watch television. Maybe they'll read, they'll talk on the phone. It's okay. I mean, those things are fine as well. But really what you want to do is just basically shut down, you know, the body, the mental side of it, and just relax from a mental aspect. You know, don't get yourself, your mind all upset and all thing in turmoil. That's why, you know, you get on the phone, start talking to friends, things get, you know, what's going on with that, or a TV show, whatever the case may be. Just find a way that you have your mind to rest in that sense.
Right.
Regenerate your mind.
Yeah.
You should always take time every single day after a strenuous workout or any workout and give your mind an opportunity to regenerate by just resting itself.
Right.
That should be part of it as well.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I agree with that. And like I said, you can't shortchange yourself
Mm-mm.
when it comes to
Mm-mm.
resting your mind
Mm-mm.
because part of you know, part of the whole mental aspect of it is the psychological
mm-hmm.
as you know, part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like if you aren't resting your mind, then your mind is going,
mm-hmm.
you know, a mile a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So as you are, you know, and that comes with the whole stress of the
mm-hmm.
other things that you
mm-hmm.
do
mm-hmm.
outside of the stress that you put on your body
mm-hmm.
doing the actual exercise or the actual workout itself
mm-hmm.
to where, again, the whole regeneration part, the whole goal of it is to get you mentally, physically, psychologically, emotionally, and everything else
mm-hmm.
prepared
mm-hmm.
to go back to that workout.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter if it's been 24 hours, 48 hours,
mm-hmm.
or even if you've taken a week or a month off,
mm-hmm.
you still need to come back in completely regenerated in
mm-hmm.
order for your body to produce the type
mm-hmm.
of results that you are hoping for.
That's right. Now, so we're on Tuesday. The next day comes. Now, most coaches, I won't say all, but most coaches then say, if I gave you a strenuous, extremely strenuous workout on Monday,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to come back and do something just as hard on Tuesday.
Right.
I'm usually going to break it up and give you tempo runs or something like that. You know, it's still a workout, but I'm trying to reduce, you know, the stress on your body and those things and giving you time to regenerate. Well, that's basically active regeneration, active recovery.
Right.
That's what your coach is doing. He's giving you active regeneration time.
Mm-hmm.
As like you said, regeneration, recovery, rest are all interchangeably used. And so he might just call it active recovery. What it really is he's letting your body regenerate from what you did the day before. And it may be the focus of the training session on that Tuesday may be, okay, we're going to do a nice little tempo run. Do tempo runs at just an aerobic type. I mentioned earlier about just getting the heart rate going. So you're going to run at a really leisurely pace, just getting your heart going, not working those skeletal muscles as hard as you did. So your body doesn't go into defense mode. It's still working on what it was doing. The other things a lot of coaches will do on that day will be that's when they do a lot of the yoga and basically a stretch workout.
Right.
You know, they'll do stretching workouts. And here's one of the things that we both advocate and we wish a lot more coaches would do. You know, on an active workout, that active recovery regeneration day, that's when you work those other muscles that didn't get worked on a strenuous workout, mainly the core. You know, the core rarely gets worked on that strenuous work.
That's
it's usually
true.
Heart rate, getting your speed, and you're trying to work the drive phase and all the things that's going on. So you got your legs and your arms and muscles and your heart going on. But one thing that doesn't get worked as much, now it does get worked because it's part of it, but what doesn't get worked as fully is your core.
Right.
So that day, that active recovery can be working your core,
mm-hmm.
getting it stronger, doing, you know, sit-ups or whatever the case may be, what you're doing, abdominal stretches, planks, all the things that work on your core to get it stronger. Reason being, stronger the core, the better you are as an athlete.
Right.
You know, we tell athletes constantly, you know, it doesn't matter how fast you are, if you don't have a strong core, you're going to break down, whether you break down in your race in 100, you break down in a 400, or the jumps, or whatever case may be, you will break down because that core is not strong.
Right.
So that's something you can do on a day. You're not doing the skeletal workout. Like you said, the skeletal muscles, thighs, legs, arms in that case, working those so hard, then letting them regenerate, work the core. It's a perfect thing to do. It's active recovery. You still give them something really hard to do when you make the strenuous of the core. But your body doesn't go into it's working that. It can still do the core. body is such a wonderful thing. It can do these things, multiple things at the same time, and do regeneration at different levels based on what's going on. I can still work the arms and the legs and the muscle fibers in there while I'm doing the core. Okay, now I got to work on this part. Not a problem. But because you didn't get the heart rate up as much, and you don't ask for it to use as much oxygen and can produce as much glucose or lactic, as we say, by doing that, it doesn't have to work as hard during that time. So those are things you can do on that active regeneration recovery day.
Right. And speaking of core, and you mentioned, you know, I know that we're talking about as part of regeneration. But, we talk about it as part of regeneration, but it's also, you know, just a very important part of the workout itself. Because, you know, you talk about the core, and if you don't have a strong core, if you don't work on that, how you're missing out on, you know, certain aspects of, you know, just the whole exercise routine itself. But the thing about it, especially as a, well, I can't say especially as a jumper, but to me, as a jumper, you have to have a strong core because you can't get your knees up. You can't, you know, you can't get your legs up. You can't possibly, you know, get the full momentum out of running, jumping, hurdling, you know, or any of that if you don't have a strong core.
Right.
So, yes, that is definitely an excellent regeneration.
Yeah, and it's truly a workout. It's a really good workout as part of your active regeneration, your active recovery. You're doing a workout where the athletes, excuse me, are still getting a great benefit out of doing it. It, at the same time, letting the other parts of the body, the skeletal muscles, regenerate.
Right.
You know, it's getting those cells, you know, like we talked about, those satellite cells working to fix the other things while you're working some other part of your body. You know, and you're not got the heart rate up too high. You got it working, but it's not as where it's, you know, so bad. It's just more of an aerobic type, not an anaerobic where you're working the skeletal muscles. So those are things that's basically active regeneration on that day. Like we said, if it's a really strenuous workout on Monday, you have that active regeneration on Tuesday with the stretching, core work, and things of that nature. And another thing about that Tuesday can be, that could be the mental day. Okay, let's talk about your race.
Right.
Let's talk about how we want to break down the races. Let's work on that technique storm. Like, here's what we need to do on this day. Active work, active recovery, not a lot of anaerobic stuff, more aerobic stuff, basically. And it might not even be a lot. You might just be doing drills over the hurdles with walking drills. You know, light, really light jog drill, but not anything tough or strenuous on the body. You know, you might be on the field. You know, you may not be doing on the pit, in the pit, doing runway work, but you might be on the field doing certain things, just certain drills and bounding drills that are not explosive things, the pyrometrics that work those skeletal muscles, just the part of getting the mental aspect of stretching that second phase or doing this thing. Or like for me over the high jump, stretching those hips and getting that loose, getting that flexibility in the hips. I just might be having them on the mat and just dropping down and loosening the hips up and flexibility on the hips. Things of those nature. That's part of what we're doing as far as the active regeneration on that. Like we said, we're doing a week thing. It'll be that Tuesday.
Right.
So we want you to keep doing. And even after that, after the end of that practice, nothing changes. We don't change what we said. It's the same thing. Still, get the protein within 35 to an hour. Get your protein in immediately. The water, I know we stretch, but still, same thing. You know, a lot of times we talk about that yoga and the fitness. Those things are really important. It's something, you know, it used to be that people were like, oh, I'm not doing yoga. Why would I want to do something like that? When you realize it's not just a physical thing, it's a mental thing.
Right.
You're relaxing your body along with your mind. Your mind is being relaxed as well. We just talked about giving your mind a chance to regenerate. And it's part of that, the breathing, the meditation, getting the mind relaxed and breathe, and just thinking, getting your thoughts, clearing your thoughts of those things that are not right and getting those stressors out of there so you can do that. Those are also part of that stuff. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about regeneration, those things.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't have a whole lot more to add to that. It's, again, just making sure that you are, you know, taking care of every aspect of it.
Yep.
You know, because you're going to defeat the purpose if you're getting your sleep, but then you're getting up and still ripping and running the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're getting your sleep, but then you're still not eating properly.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but let's say you're eating properly, but then you're still only doing 4 to 5 hours of sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the total package.
Mm-hmm.
In order to properly regenerate your body, you have to do all of it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because doing one but not the other is going to take away from it at
mm-hmm.
some point.
Right, and we spend our time right now talking about what the athlete should do as part of regeneration. But there's a coach's aspect as well that we haven't talked about.
Very true.
And the coaches, again, when you set your workouts, you should be building this into your planned routines and your planned scheduling across your seasons. You know, whatever your season being, whether preseason, in season, late season, or out of season, your workouts should be stressed and based on building in recovery, regeneration, all those things, and knowing your athletes. We mentioned earlier, some of them use heart rate monitors. They get baselines with heart rate monitors, so they use heart rate monitors and get their baselines with that. Others just use, you know, like we said, the simplistic, go run this, go do that, and let me measure it. Put it on a stopwatch, put it on a piece of notepad and see where they are and go from there. See what their heart rate is and all those other things.
Mm-hmm.
But coaches, you have to be a part of it as well. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to kill them on Monday. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to be light for 10 minutes and then we can go right at it. Well, what are you doing? You're killing your athletes because you're either overtraining or overreaching what you're doing.
Right.
You know, you're not giving them enough. Or you kill them on Monday and then you basically do nothing on Tuesday. I mean, you literally do pretty much nothing on Tuesday. Now you're giving them too much recovery because
right.
now they can't.
Right.
Now their body didn't adjust what they're willing to do because you did the hard work on a Monday and you didn't go back to anything until Thursday or Friday. So now you're giving them too
and
much recovery.
They're about to die. You know,
so your body, so their body didn't get to the point where it's like, okay, I had to defense. What's going on? Oh, it didn't get to that anymore. It's not ready. Oh, I've got to start all over again. Coaches, you have to be aware of what's going on as far as you're dealing with regeneration, all those things. Your workouts and your plans can't be haphazard. You have to know how to do it. You just don't just throw something together and say, oh, I saw this on YouTube where this coach does this and this coach does that. I'm going to do this one on Monday and I'm going to do this one on Tuesday. I'm going to do this one on Wednesday. No rhyme or reason, no understanding of what you're trying to do with your athletes. So please, you know, it's not just for the athletes, rest, recovery, regeneration. It's definitely not just for the athlete. It's for the coach as well. Make sure you ask them to build in. Make sure you get your rest, you know. We do a recovery time based on our intervals. What are our recovery? What are our intervals going to be? If it's going to be a 30-second interval, why am I doing this? If it's going to be a 5-minute, why am I doing it? And if I do this on Monday or whatever the case may be, what's next? What am I doing on Tuesday and
right.
Wednesday and Thursday or Friday and going forward? What am I doing the following month? What am I doing 2 months from now? And what am I doing at championship time?
Right.
So it's everybody has to play a part in it. And we can't just say – and then we've been focused on what the athletes do, but we want to stress as coaches, you play the most integral part of doing this properly. Because if you don't set it up right, the athletes can listen to everything we said, and it still doesn't work.
Right.
And they're like, why am I not getting better?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I just plateauing? Why does it seem like I'm going backwards? I'm doing everything Coach Donna and Coach Lewis said to do. I'm getting my rest. I'm eating right. I'm doing everything. Why isn't that working? Because your coach sets you up for failure by not doing a proper workouts. That's
right.
It is. So coaches, please learn your craft.
Right. Right. We can't stress that part enough because
learn your craft.
You know, some coaches they don't know.
They don't know. Yes,
it's
you're right.
Be told. But
uh-huh.
A lot of times people have a challenge of admitting to not
yes.
knowing.
They can't admit I know what I don't know. I
right.
don't know what. So please tell me and let me learn this. And they're just like, I got this. I ran track in high school. I ran track in college. I know how to do this.
Right.
Well, it's not just that. You know,
because knowing
that?
How to do it,
uh-huh.
being told to do it,
mm-hmm.
right, is very different from you being the person to tell someone
that's
else
right.
to do it. Because
yes.
just because you were a star athlete, you know, whether
mm-hmm.
it's not just track, but any sport for
mm-hmm.
that matter, doesn't necessarily equip you to be a good coach.
That's
at
right.
It.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, so let me say, we talked about the aspect. We'll tell you again, same thing. Coaches, again, whatever you do, with your workouts and what are you doing, please make sure you have an understanding of what your game plan is going to be. Don't just make it up as you go, you know.
Right, right.
I don't make it up as I go. I have a plan before when I get back. When I go back in September, I have a plan of what I'm going to do as far as the hurdle is concerned. I have a plan of what I'm going to do as far as the high jump is concerned. And it doesn't matter if it's a new high jumper or an experienced high jumper, a new hurdler or experienced. I have a plan, and I have a routine that we're going to follow to get them to where they need to be.
Right.
We don't make it up. We just don't make it up as we go. So same thing. You've got to be ready. You've got to be prepared. And we mentioned some terminology and stuff that you don't have to know all the terminology. You don't
right.
have to know
Absolutely.
Everything there is. You don't have to know what ATP is. You don't have to know what ADP is. You don't may not have to know what they are, but you have to understand why they do what they are and how they work and what it does if it's pertaining to your athlete. Don't just go out there and say, okay, I've looked at this. I'm saying, okay, I'm going to set up this workout to do this. I'm going to set up to do this. And this is going to be my Monday. This is going to be my Tuesday. This is going to be my Wednesday. This is going to be my Thursday and my Friday. And it's the same thing every single week. Well, forget it. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work.
So, yeah. What he said.
Here's another part. Again, we've mentioned this. We said the athletes, the coaches, and like I said, because we work with high school athletes for the most part, there's one third. There's another component. Parents.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Parents. You can help or hurt your athlete. You can help a program or kill a program
right.
by your involvement or non-involvement.
Right.
Or misunderstanding. That's right. If you dismiss what we're asking, then you're not helping the program. If we're saying, ma'am, sir, after the workout, can you please get them some light protein and this within 60 minutes of it? And please make sure they cut down on this salt. Make sure they hydrate. And I was like, yeah, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what that man said. We're going to McDonald's.
Right.
Oh,
my God.
Go get you a supersized, fries and two burgers.
Because that's the cheapest option.
Yeah, let's just do that. Well, I don't care. It's protein. Eat it. And it's like, sir, you're getting like, you get your homework done. Make sure you get your homework done. Like, come on, stay up and watch the game with me and stuff. Like, great. You want to spend time with your son or your daughter, whatever case may be. But if you're keeping them up to 1 o'clock in the morning to watch a bunch of games or whatever they're doing,
mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they're only getting 4 hours to 5 hours sleep, but they're good.
Or for that matter, even if you're not the one who's keeping them up, but you have to also be mindful of your role in making sure that they are getting their sleep because, everybody's on these video games now.
Oh, yes.
And most parents don't have a clue, if their athlete is in their room playing video games till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, not just the video game, the phone.
Yeah.
Almost every kid has a phone now. So, they're on the phone, at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, texting. But that means they're actively up. They're not sleeping.
Right.
They're not resting. So they're texting to 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and they fall asleep with the phone, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the alarm goes off at 6, and they got 3 hours of sleep.
Right.
Or less.
Right.
They're not doing anything. Make sure it's like, turn the phone off. Let's go. Get your sleep. Get your rest. Make sure they get that mental time like we talked about. Okay.
Yeah.
They got that little like to eat. They got this time to do their homework. Okay. Shut it down. Relax. Take your time. Get your mental. Think through your day. Get yourself cleared up. Parents, you can help a program or you can hurt a program if you're not, helping us get through that part. And actually, ask questions.
Right.
Not every coach is going to be, not talk to you. Most coaches want to hear from you and say, hey,
right.
tell me what's going on. Tell me. It's like, when you say, hey, coach, look, what do I need to do?
I saw that earlier. Yes.
Coach,
okay.
what do I need to
Go
do?
Ahead.
What do I need to do to help my child get better in this? Do I need to buy these things or do this? Like, no, actually, sir, ma'am, the main thing I can ask you to do is here's the simple things. Make sure they eat right. Here's some of the things I ask that you have them eat. Make sure they drink their water constantly. Stay away from the Kool-Aid. Stay away from the sweet tea.
Why are you saying it to me?
What you like to drink?
Sweet tea.
Thank you very much.
I drink water and cold red Mountain Dew.
Oh, my God.
When I travel. Carry on.
Stay away from the sweet tea and the cold red Mountain Dew. Drink your water. Not too much Gatorade.
Right.
Don't drink Gatorade don't drink Gatorade as your, instead of water.
Right.
Water's better. Water is always going to be better. He drinks Gatorade all day. No. Water. Drink your water. Make sure to drink the water. And like we mentioned before, make sure they get their rest.
Right.
Make sure they get their rest, physical rest and mental rest.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to try to help eliminate as many stressors as possible. You know, and that'll help every athlete. That'll help every athlete, and that helps every coach.
Right.
You know, be involved. Be actively involved. Learn
mm-hmm.
what's going on. Learn the workouts. Learn what you can do to help with the work and assist with the workout. Okay, well, your coach has set it up. Saturday's your rest day. This is what you do. You know, your parents, when you have chores, absolutely, make sure they do the chores, but make sure they do it in a time-managed way that they're part of their time management so they understand, I still must, as long as I do my chores, I must also get my rest.
Mm-hmm.
I must do my mental rest. I must make sure I eat properly and drink my water and do everything I'm supposed to do as a coach's standpoint. Stretching, coach might have me stretch and do those things. Make sure I'm doing those things as well. So parents, please, please be actively involved. You don't have to not be engaged. Please be engaged. We actually do like you being engaged. We truly
right.
do.
Right.
We don't
not
want
over
you.
The top.
Don't go overboard. That's right.
right.
Don't go over the top. Don't go overboard. But we do like you being engaged because that helps us.
Oh, now they talk about football.
Questions.
Instigate this.
That's all right. You're fine. That's all right. Does anyone have any questions about what we're talking about tonight? Like I said, we're talking about rest, recovery, and generation. Coach Turner, you're one of the best out there. You know this stuff as well. It was interesting to see if you had anything to say. When we talk about regeneration, I mentioned when you and I talked about the research that's been done to say eating, you know, within 45 to 60 minutes afterwards. I've got some more. There are several athletes out there who do that same thing, that within 45 minutes to 60 minutes after the workout, light protein, not heavy. They eat something
right.
light before they have their actual meal.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a light protein and a little bit of carbs, avocado, and, you know, they stay away from many fats as well. It's funny when you were talking about earlier about moderation and stuff.
Right.
I follow Dina Asher-Smith from Great Britain, who won 100 and 200 European, and she posted the other day about her season was over, so she was so glad. She posted all the things that she could now eat, which was chocolate. And she showed chocolate, and she showed some cookies, and she showed a burger. She's like, I can finally eat these things again. So she was like, you know, yeah. So those things that they can now enjoy because
right.
her season's over, obviously she's going to do it in moderation. She's
Absolutely.
Not going to get herself out of shape.
Right.
But those are things she had to she did not eat during her training and during her season. She was
mm-hmm.
stood eating those things because she's, you know, I can't have that type of stuff. I can't eat those types of things. You know, during my season,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to enjoy them now because the season's over.
Right.
So a lot of that stuff is going on. One thing I wanted to mention, and it's interesting because a lot of athletes do this now. Before they start a workout, you know, their drink of choice?
What?
Coffee.
Oh, really now?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a new one.
They have a cup of coffee. They have a cup of coffee for the energy boost, performance enhancer.
Mm.
They use the caffeine as a performance enhancer getting going to start that process going, get your body going. Try to get things moving, get that testosterone going, get those hormones moving and flowing and getting going. So they start with a cup of coffee before their workout.
So if they're using that for like caffeine to pump them up, is that technically any better than soda?
Yeah, there's not the sugar.
Sugar, okay.
There's no sugar in it. It's
okay.
just black coffee.
Got
so they're not drinking.
Oh, okay.
They're not
got
adding
it.
Sugar.
Not without the sugar.
It's not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not coffee with cream and sugar. It's just black coffee. You know, no calories, 5 calories at most.
Mm.
But they get the caffeine, so it's just a quick performance enhancer to get to start the workout.
Mm.
So they get them going, get their
body.
You don't drink coffee.
I don't even drink coffee. I know. Yeah, that probably wouldn't do me any good.
No,
probably,
but don't drink your
sick.
Cold Red Mountain Dew because that ain't gonna help you either. Just, you know, up and down. But so they do that. They have a performance center to get going. If you
dark
like,
roast.
They can have dark roast. Would you like light roast tone? Would you like? You just like.
Yes.
Oh.
Dark roast is good.
Oh my goodness gracious. Okay. So
breakfast blend. He wants to know.
Breakfast blend. Okay. Two more days. I swear to God. Actually, I'll see you tomorrow. But that's what they do to get started and everything going on. One thing, last finishing up, we want to finish up. We talk about regeneration. We talk about rest. We talk recovery. Talk about regeneration and all the things. One thing we didn't mention, we kind of mentioned it, but we didn't mention it fully. And I did it. Did I post it? I think I may have posted it. Foam rollers.
Oh,
rollers.
Yeah, you did. That was
rollers.
Earlier in the week.
We talk about recovery and doing recovery. And some of the things we talk about, the stretching. We talk about the stretching afterwards. And some of the things they do for stretching is not just, you know, sitting on a mat and grabbing the toes on. So they're foam rollers, rolling out the muscles, lengthening,
right.
stretching, and getting the contraction. Remember we talked about getting those contractions down in the
right.
muscles, trying to get the contractions going down. Foam rollers help get the muscles to stop the contractions by rolling them out. Nice and easy. Just rolling the legs over, the thighs right over them, rolling the arms right over, rolling the back. Get the foam roller and let your back roll over the foam roller. Get the contractions to slow down and to get them minimized so it can start the recovery process, regeneration process. So we advocate making sure kids do that also after the workout, during recovery times and things of that nature, because that helps the body. Again, we want to slow down the contractions of what your body's doing after that strenuous workout or any workout. Slow down the contractions the skeletal muscles are doing so the regeneration process can begin.
And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because my daughter's volleyball team,
mm-hmm.
at the end of every volleyball game, I got the magic touch.
Yes, you do. Okay.
At the end of every volleyball game, immediately following the game, I don't care if they win, lose, whatever the case is,
mm-hmm.
they circle up. They stretch and they bring out those foam rollers.
Bring out the foam rollers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that starts the regeneration process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be immediately following,
no.
you know, the workout. But I just thought it was interesting that they always do that. Like,
mm-hmm.
Especially if they win, I'm always ready to go ahead and celebrate.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can stretch when you get home. But,
right. Uh-huh.
But they do it like immediately following.
You see, that's the parent. That's the parent coming out again, not helping the coach.
But from a coach's standpoint, I get it because they do that not only at the end of every game, but they obviously you know do it at the end of every single practice too,
mm-hmm.
to start
right.
that regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, the foam rollers. It's something. I mean, they're not real expensive. I mean, just get a foam roller.
Sound right at Five Below.
Yeah, just get a foam roller and have the kids roll over. You know. Use it on their calves, use it on their hamstrings, use it on your back, and just stretch it out. And just, you know, put it on the arm or roll it on the arm. Reason being, help stretch the muscles and get the contractions to stop. When we mentioned, like I said, you know, the contractions we're talking about is the muscles firing.
Right.
You know, the muscles firing. They got to fire because they're running. They got to fire. So they're contracting,
mm-hmm.
contracting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing. So what you want to do, even when you finish the workout, it's still going. You know, it still does that. It's still contracting, not as fast a pace, but it's trying to get the glucose, again, it's building the sugar and getting the oxygen back into the muscles and it's starting the body to regenerate. It's got to do that. So what is that? So what are we doing? Trying to get slow down so the satellite cells can get to work and do what they do and fix what's going on, what has happened, what you've broken down, what you stretched or damaged. And it's not damaged in a bad way. I mean, again, you're breaking down fibers to get them better, to be better, to recover to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an evolution of your body. It goes all the way. Your body has decided that I need to do this because you've decided something's going to happen, and I need to be prepared to run that fast. You know, from a physical, it's not just the track. It's just your body, the evolution of your body is saying, basically when we evolved and said, hey, flight, I've got to go. If I've got to go faster, I need to do this. So your body's evolved to do these things. So that's what it's doing. So the contractions are going on. So you got to slow it down to do that. So that's why instead of the foam roller slows the contractions down to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't talk about different muscle types,
slow right.
twitching, faster, type 1, type 2 muscles. But there's, I mean, again, in talking about those things, if you have less fast twitch muscles than slow twitch muscles,
right?
Because the slow twitch muscles are basically longer muscles, and you use those more often than you do the fast twitch muscles. So your thighs and your hip muscles, which you walk, you use that more than the muscles that you got to fire to go fast to run.
Mm-hmm.
You walk more than you run.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope you would walk more than you run. So those muscles are longer. Same within your arms and your heart and all those things. Those fast twitch muscles are more. You have less of those than the slow twitch muscles, but they're longer and bigger. So when you get those going, it takes more time
right.
to get those to recover. So once you get that going and those miss. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's Lamont.
Oh.
I'm sorry. So with the slow twitch muscles take a little bit longer to get going. The fast twitch muscles.
Oh,
it was. Oh, okay. So the fastest muscles need faster muscle get going, and so it takes less time. But again, regeneration, you got to base on what your athletes are doing and your workouts that you did.
Right, and sometimes too, I think you mentioned talking about the fast twitch muscles, mm-hmm. the slow twitch muscles, mm-hmm. and so forth. And then we talk about the different levels of exercise. The bottom line is that regardless of whether you're doing fast-paced exercise, mm-hmm. whether you're doing slow-paced exercise, whether you're walking, mm-hmm. running, mm-hmm. Or whatever, it still all needs the full process.
That's
of
right.
The whole rest,
yes. mm-hmm.
recovery,
mm-hmm.
and regeneration. Mm-hmm. Because, one may take a little bit longer than the other,
mm-hmm.
to recover,
mm-hmm.
or regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that regardless of the type of exercise you're doing and that whatever speed you're doing it, it still requires the full process.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when we say fast twitch and slow twitch muscles, it necessarily means running and walking.
Right.
For example, when you're doing long jump or triple jump, the explosion, what you're doing of the lifting and the power you're driving for, fast twitch muscles.
Oh, my God.
So Tony says, could I use the old foam hair rollers, those old pink rollers?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work, Tony. Mm-mm. I think it's going to have to be a little bigger than that. A little more firm.
Okay. All right. So when we talk about fast twitch.
That hurts for a cup right there.
You know, that's how we are, boy. We ain't got no sense in our hands, do we? So when we talk about fast twitch and slow. God, he just got messed me all up. When we talk about fast twitch and slow twitch muscles, we're not necessarily just talking about running and walking. We're talking about, like I said, in the jumps, explosion.
Right.
Pyrometrics. When you're trying to build your body to explode for the triple jump or the long jump and lift and stuff, you're using fast twitch muscles to get them going. High jump, exploding up and lifting the body over fast twitch muscles. Hurdles, lifting over, not always the speed about it, by bringing alert and snapping the trail leg over.
Right.
Fast twitch muscles. That's what you're doing. So it's not always the running on the track. It's the other things you do. If you're in the weight room and you're lifting and you're driving your shoulders up and doing squats on it, fast twitch muscles, exploding to bring them up and things of that nature. Even a bodybuilder, just barbells going like this, power.
Right.
Fast twitch muscles. That's what you're using. Fast twitch against slow twitch muscles. So that's what we're talking about in those things. It's not just on the track. But at the same time, as we said, and like Coach Donna mentioned, they have to regenerate as well. You know, you always have to regenerate. And the time it takes to regenerate can be it varies by the athlete, varies by the workout, varies by the recovery that you've given your workout during your workout. So all those things all take into account to help decide what kind of regeneration is going to happen with your body. It's doing the same thing, but how fast it does it, may be determining what you did. So like I said, sometimes it's 24 hours, 40 hours, 72 hours, sometimes it's less. When we talk about recovering your body, it's not just, I don't feel sore anymore. Sometimes regeneration is, it's not just that I can soar. I can now do the maximum thing I did the day before at that same pace.
Right.
That's when you know your body has regenerated fully. Or I can do that maximum thing and I can do even more.
Right.
Then your body is fully regenerated and it can get there. If you get to, you do something on Monday and then you come back and do the same workout on Tuesday and you can't do it because your body hasn't regenerated and those things are still working. If you did it on Monday, you get that slow recovery day on Tuesday, come back on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and you can do it, your body has fully recovered. That's Ronald VA. Okay. Then your body can do it.
Sometimes I knew he was coming back with
that. With the
Ronald?
Yes. She got a bunch of Harrisburg friends too, Tone. So she got a little bit of us too. She don't try to admit it, but she does. But that's what we're talking about as far as regeneration is concerned. It fast twitch muscles, slow twitch muscles, regeneration, and those things as well. That happens. So we've had a really informative show this week.
Mm-hmm.
We were finishing. We have concluded with our parts 1, 2, and 3 of rest, recovery, and regeneration. We hope you guys have learned a lot.
Yeah.
I hope you can take it back to your athletes, to your coaches, to the parents that you know, or you're a parent yourself, and let them know and make them understand, hey, I listened to people and they told me some things that I didn't know before, and now I have a better understanding why I need to make sure my child gets their rest, or
right.
why I need to make sure they get their mental time break now, or, Yeah, ask the coach, well, what's your recovery for this thing? Do I need to do something differently as far as the coach is concerned? And you're a coach as well. What are my workouts? Am I using my workouts properly? Am I creating a proper workout for the athletes to get them to the maximum level they need to be?
Mm-hmm.
I need to know, is my workout just set for early season, or am I creating workouts for the long term? You know, what is my plan? You know, and, you know, everybody kicks on me because I'm a OCD about as far as planning is concerned. I plan everything. But there's a reason for it. I mean, part of the coaching is I have to understand what's going on and where we go forward
right.
as far as the athlete is going. You can always adapt, but if you don't have a plan,
right.
you ain't going
and,
anywhere.
And as far as planning, I agree that planning is very important too.
But you
and
don't plan nothing.
I do. I do. I plan with the end in mind, right? What?
Go ahead.
So I feel like it's very important to set goals, right?
Plan,
go ahead,
my,
what?
Nothing, no. Her plan is always a plan with the end in mind and says, hey, what you got?
The bottom line is getting there. The bottom line is getting to where, you know,
what we working on today?
What okay. we intended to do,
yes.
right? Where
uh-huh.
we where we are trying to go. So, and that varies from athlete to athlete,
mm-hmm.
too. So, you know. That's just my two cents on that part when you talked about planning. That's all. I was just adding that I plan as well.
Y'all just don't know. Y'all just don't know. Y'all swear to God.
I just wanted to add my two cents.
Y'all just don't know. I swear.
Oh.
If y'all only knew.
Oh, my
if
God.
Y'all only knew. Oh, my God.
But we winning, though, right?
See?
We winning, though. I'll always come back with that.
Oh,
so it works.
That's why it works. Yin and yang. Yin and yang. Sometimes you got to have yin and yang, folks. If that's your plan. You have yin and yang. You got a planner, and then you got Mr. Adapt over here. And, like, goes through it. But knows her stuff. And even when and I tease her about her planning, but she knows her stuff, and she does really have a plan. She just never puts nothing on paper, and she never tells you anything.
It's
but
right
she
here. I'm a genius. Okay.
With their photographic memory, but
that's right.
But she really does have a plan when she brings them out there for the practice, and she will set up what she wants to do from a long jump standpoint or a triple jump standpoint, and what she wants to do and how she goes about doing it, and she includes everything we just talked about. That's recovery and regeneration. She didn't just go out there and say, okay, we're going to do these drills and all this stuff. She adds all those things into it. And then she tells the athletes what else they need to do. Get your rest. Get your drink your water. Get your eat right and all these things. And all this
mm-hmm.
stuff. You know, she does
squat.
That. She does that. Me, I pretty much put it on a piece of paper, write it down what's going on, and plan it out for the next 9 months and go forward. And, I can tell you what the workout's going to be in February right before they go to Nationals. I can tell you what the workout would be based on what I do.
Don't ask
That's
me
what
that.
I do. See, that's what I mean.
Well, look, in all fairness, I believe in repetition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't change my workout too much from 1 week
mm-hmm.
to the next.
Right.
I might take it up a notch as we mm-hmm. start getting towards states
mm-hmm.
and nationals and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, but
mm-hmm.
pretty much it's always standard. We're
mm-hmm.
always going to start with the same
mm-hmm.
drills. We're
mm-hmm.
always going to do... But it just depends on what we're working on that particular
mm-hmm.
day as to when and how, you know, it
mm-hmm.
may vary.
And, you know, even saying that, a one workout could do every single thing you want to do
mm-hmm.
and everything we talk about. You can have one workout be an aerobic workout or an anaerobic workout or a recovery workout. It can all be the same workout. You can have the same workout and be every single facet of it. You can have a six 200s, you know, we're going to do 6 200s today. That 6 200s can be everything you want. It can be 6 200s at a very slow pace just to get your heart rate going. You can do it really quickly and get the heart rate going up so you can see where they are from the lactic threshold we talked about.
Right.
Working on the lactic threshold. Or you can do it as a recovery. The 6 200s is on the grass, doing it this way with this type of thing we're adding to it. It can be everything you want in the same workout.
Right.
You know? That's what you need to know as a coach and how you want to use it and how you approach using that workout.
Right.
So that same workout be used in the beginning of season, mid-season, end season. It can be used in the same week. It can be used during the month of what you're doing. It can be used during prep time for your races, you know, big races. All those things can be done based on what you want to do from a recovery standpoint, from a regeneration standpoint, and a rest standpoint.
Right.
Same workout.
Yeah.
So if you've learned anything, we thought, we want you to understand, again, They're interchangeable. Rest, recovery, regeneration. They're all interchangeable. Mainly, everybody uses the same two words. They use rest and recovery. It's fine. We don't have a problem with you using it. We just want you to understand the difference between those.
Right.
Make sure you understand when someone says recovery, you were talking about recovery between the workout, or are you talking about regeneration? Make sure you understand that. Make sure you understand the rest part. Okay, I want you to rest. Like, make sure the rest is sleep. All right? So thanks for watching.
Thank you.
We loved it. We'll see you next week. We go back to our normal selves. All right? Have a good evening, everybody.
Peace out.
Bye.
Oh, there you go.
You're crazy.
Ooh, I had to keep myself up over here.